Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
That's how you grow. You get into a fight with somebody in public, and great. All that hard work you did for 5 years, building a hangar, doing road trips, doesn't mean anything. Mm. I'm going to go fight somebody under a bridge, and I'll go viral.
All right, let's go. I'll meet you there.
Right now, do y'all need a sync clap or anything like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that. Let's do that on three. After three. One, two, three. Okay.
That's better than the last few times we did it.
Count it up. That was amazing.
Yeah, that wasn't bad.
Oh, what a coincidence. The new Meg movie comes out tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, Ninja Turtles and Meg double feature would be pretty fucking slamming.
The first podcast sponsored by Meg.
What would be someone in the chat says they're British. This goes out to you. You?
No, they said I'm British. Also, Tristan's British. That's why he's saying that. But he's self-loathing.
I'm not British. I hate British people.
Then why do
I'm
you?
I'm Dutch.
You've mentioned this before. What? That your heritage.
I'm Dutch, motherfucker.
Why do you tend to do the worst British accent in every recording that we do?
I don't know. Let's get started. By the way, guys, we're burning daylight hours.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
All right, TJ, you wanna take our guest in?
Sure. Okay. So I'm Tej, and I'm joined by Lars and Spaghetto, and this is the first podcast. And today we have our guest, Sean Bolin of Hang Time. Sean, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Sean. I make content at Hang Time out of a big warehouse with my friends. And that's it. I like games, and I like to make live content, and I got invited on this. You guys have invited me a lot, and I've pushed you guys away for like a really long time. So I finally buckled, and I was like, fine, I'll do it. AKA, I found some time, and now we're here. So it's great to see you.
That makes us sound like we're just waiting outside your warehouse window. No. Like, please come on, Sean. Please. We're just like fogging up your window like podcasts in bold letters.
To be fair...
No, it was a lot of like me being like, I can't, sorry, not right now. And then it's just like it gets buried, and so it takes a while for things to come around. So I finally got around to you guys.
To be fair, that was mainly me, because when I first contacted you, this podcast was on a hiatus for about 2 years, and I was mainly just doing I was trying to put together like streams with a bunch of past guests that we knew. And you just happen to be in similar circles, so that's why I hit you up, mainly because I wanted to continue like the sort of trend that happened during 2020, where everybody was, all the YouTubers were doing like collab streams and Among Us and things like that. So
yeah, that makes sense,
because I kind of started getting into your content through Bruce. Is where I first heard about you streaming. Like, I was always aware of Game Time as kind of a periphery, but I never really watched
Game Attack.
Game Attack.
Accost you. No, I'm just playing. Game Attack kind of like drifted like in and out of like Let's Play Family type stuff. So like, you know, back when like Let's Play Family was kind of at its peak, that's when Game Time like launched. Game Time. Game Attack launched, and then kind of, you know, went its way. So
We're Pavloving the guests into saying their own show incorrectly.
Exactly.
We're trying to gaslight you into remembering that the game attack is game time.
Wait.
Now, even when I was at RTX, you know, I was talking with like I was sitting around with like Elise and James, and I think Jessica Basami was there, and I'd only met her in passing, and she was like, "What's hang time?" And so even like in, you know, I was like, "Do you remember Game Attack?" And she was like, "Yeah, yeah, I remember Game Attack." Even like in like professional circles, it's like it was kind of like this smoke that went in and out of people's nostrils. Game Attack. So
yeah, I was a big Funhouse guy, and every once in a while, you and Chad would show up as like, "Oh, the guys from Game Attack." But I never watched Game Attack when it was a thing. I only kind of got into your stuff way after you stopped doing it and you're rebranded.
Yeah, man, Funhouse is so sick. I think Funhouse is the best it's ever been now, to be honest. But like, yeah, the only collab Game Attack ever did with Funhouse was that PUBG stream, I think, with Bruce and Adam. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, that was a weird one. I didn't like it. But yeah, but we circled up and it was good. So
how far exactly do you go back in terms of kind of just like a internet video game content / nerdy stuff?
Nah, I was just like, I interned at this ScrewAttack company like a really long time ago, like in 2012, where I basically just did like site administration. They had like, they were going from like a version to a version. So I basically spent all day opening 900 tabs and copying and pasting titles, embed codes, episode numbers and stuff like for 8 hours at a time. So I interned there, and then that company, I wasn't on the internet. I just played video games and went to college. Mm-hmm. Right. So I interned there cause I'd seen their content on game trailers. Oh, and yeah. Then, I left, got my degree. Cause like I was probably making more money serving tables at Saltgrass than anyone at that company was at the time, cause it was so small.
For sure.
But it blew up with kind of Death Battle while I was in college, and I kind of watched from afar. And then, I tried to find some jobs with like my degree and stuff, but wasn't really, it was like copywriting jobs and stuff like that. And, I eventually was just like, okay, at least I had fun at interning. So I hit them back up, and I hit up Craig, and I was like, "Hey, even if it's another unpaid internship, I want to come back just so I can do something that's interesting." And he had just, it was like under the radar, right? It hadn't been announced yet, but he had just sold the company to Fullscreen. So I texted him, I said, "I went back in," and it was kind of weird timing because he said, "Give me 1 week, I might have something for you." And like 2 days later, after I texted him saying like, "I'll do anything, I don't really care about pay or whatever, I'll just deal with it, and then I want to come back." 2 days later or something like that, it was like Fullscreen acquires ScrewAttack. And so I was like, "Oh, okay, so they got bought out and now they probably have like an actual budget, right? To hire people." And I got hired on as community manager, and that's what he had been talking about. So from then I ran the ScrewAttack social profiles, did community content. I ended up writing a lot of shows and hosting a lot of shows, and I headed up their live content side. But that was kind of like as Death Battle had already taken over. So ScrewAttack was kind of like dying off at that point. Yeah, I just worked there. I just got a good job based off of an internship. And, you know, after ScrewAttack was kind of like waning and Death Battle kind of took over, they had bought Rooster Teeth, and then they moved ScrewAttack to Austin, and Craig and I had split off Game Attack as like its own little game gaming brand.
So as someone who's kind of been on the platform for a minute now, at this point, we talked to a lot of creators who are in a similar situation, and it's kind of the obvious question is, compared to how it's been in the past, how do you feel about the current landscape for creators when it comes to streaming and posting on YouTube? Do you think it's a good place for them to be? Do you think the scene has declined, or what are your thoughts on that?
I think YouTube is you know, posed in as solid as it's ever been. I think TikTok is really interesting, but you can't make any money on it unless you're big enough to like sell a ad read to like Hyundai, right? I think the live space is absolutely terrifying. YouTube obviously spent a lot of money, but it was all bullshit. That was investor capital they were just throwing out to get, you know, Lupo and Dr. Disrespect. Like, that was a shot in the dark because their creative lead for YouTube Live left. Twitch got bought by Amazon. I don't have a source that I can say, but you can tell Amazon is just fucking that company to hell and back. And while I think Dan Clancy is a terrible president, you could not have picked a worse person besides Emmett Shear, who ran Twitch for 12 years. You couldn't have picked a worse person to lead that. But I don't think, you know, you could have gotten Tom Hanks to be CEO of Twitch and he'd still be eating shit, like, and people would hate him. I think that Amazon is trying to tank Twitch as much as possible to purge costs. I think they bought Twitch thinking they would earn Prime levels of revenue from it. And they're just stripping everything they can. And then Kick, I'll be honest with you, I think Kick's run by trash bags.
I forgot Kick existed.
I mean their whole their funding is just from gambling. So
yeah, I think Kick is a snake in the grass, you know, like, you know, I'm not a fan of what's his name? Thank God I forgot. XQC. I don't know. Like, it makes sense that you sign. Yeah, you pay $100 million to the top streamer who was a top gambling Twitch streamer on your platform run by gambling companies. It's just like, I think the cracks are already showing in Kick, so it's going the wayside. So as far as the landscape goes, I think like YouTube is probably the best bet for established creators that are already making money. But just like anything else, it's almost impossible to make money on. I think live streaming is still the best way to earn a living because it's direct, you know? But you know, you got stuff like Fansly and Fan House seems to be pretty cool. If you have the talent and you have an audience, there's just as many options as ever. But as far as growth, it really is hard to look at a post-pandemic world and be like, you know,
yeah.
We've obviously seen, well, I don't know if it's obvious, but we've seen big changes. Like, our audience is definitely, we probably lost about 25% of our audience after the pandemic, which is good because it means people went back to work, right?
Of course, yeah.
But definitely, I don't know, weird times ahead. I think everybody should just be prepared to not be stuck to a platform and, I don't know, just cultivate an audience that will pay you and follow you more than anything. If you leave Twitch, make sure you have an audience that will follow you to YouTube, follow you to your own website or stuff like that. So,
or even OnlyFans.
Yeah, or even OnlyFans, right? Just find an audience that will want to go with you. But yeah. I've been looking at all kinds of different ways to kind of monetize. As far as YouTube goes, like, I've all but given up on YouTube as far as like a growth platform, just because like it's hard, because when you're streaming, it's like, I'll speak for the guys because we're all in the same boat, but me and the guys are like, do we want to stream 7 hours and make the best live content we can and have an absolute banger day, and we will get funded by our audience and we can be paid? Or do we want to spend 3 hours recording a video, another 10 hours editing it, and then post it to YouTube with the chance at demonetization, no discoverability, and making a couple of cents? And even archiving the live content we do is still like, man, is that even worth the fucking time? Or should we just like really focus on live content that we want to make and move on to the next thing? So it's a lot. I do not envy anyone that wants to start being a content creator now. And I really hate the idea of, I don't know, like I see like the Kick Reddit and like the Twitch Reddit, and it's like, I stream 10 hours a day, 4 days a week, and I can't grow. And it's like, what do I do? And it's just like, the only real advice is like, go viral for doing something really fucked up or really just like amazing or work. Somebody came into the stream the other day and was like, how do I grow? And I said, intern at a company a decade ago, leave, come back after 2 years, willing to work for nothing, say no to a ton of projects, get bought out by a corporation, buy out your business partner, and then still struggle to grow. And you might be able to make a living doing it.
Oh, jeez. Man, this plan for me to become popular on the platform is getting more and more convoluted and worrisome.
Yeah.
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 At this point, I mean, it's like, it's if you don't have an established brand or mm-hmm. or just like some sort of stunt that like boosts you to the front page or for you page or whatever you're on. I mean, the answer is luck, right? I mean, it's not.
Yeah,
I mean, it's I just think so. Being in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, I talked to a while ago. I talked to because we had the Game Attack channel that had like hundreds of videos on it, and it had like 100,000 people. The Game Attack channel was like already dead; like nobody was going to it for new stuff. So when I rebranded to Hang Time, I got like a consultant, and I was like, "Hey, what do we do with this?" And it was really the consultant was like. He like runs like Mr. Beast's channels and stuff. You pay him like $800 and then like he tells you what to do. Like he audits your channel, looks at your data, your analytics. And so I was like, what do I need to do to this YouTube channel after rebranding? And it was really, it kind of like woke me up to how much I don't know and a little bit to how much I don't care about YouTube because he was like, what is your value proposition? Right. And I was like, a gaming content. And he was like, that's no. And, I was like, okay. And then he basically did a rundown of like how YouTube works now. And it's like, you know, and then, but his case studies he was using as an example was Mr. Beast and Joe Rogan. He was like, these are the successful channels to parrot. And it's like, well, I'm not Joe Rogan, nor do I want to be. And I hate to break it to you. Mr. Beast is like number one, it's just like, so it was so unrealistic. It was just like, see, Mr. Beast has a value proposition. And I'm like, yeah, it's buy a Lamborghini and be the last person to stop touching it. I can't do that. Like, but it did wake this like, okay, how do you consider yourself as a brand? And for me, it was just like, my value proposition is these dudes make creative gaming content out of a hanger. And saying it out loud, it's kind of sucky because it's like, I don't know if anybody new wants to watch that proposition, right? I know our audience does. So like, if you are a new fledgling creator, your only real hope is to just like anything else, is to identify a gap and fill it. You know, like you think about like the pandemic. What kind of creators blew up during that? Card collecting, YouTube channels. I know like Doug DeMiro, like car enthusiast YouTube channels, memorabilia collecting channels, like stuff like that blew up during the, you know, the pandemic because people were going and they needed that kind of content. So I think like, I don't know who, Spaghetto, like, you know, you made that joke about like, it's getting more convoluted, but I don't know. It's a weird space because as a new content creator, you really have to be like, I'm going to be a Fortnite channel and I'm going to be the best. Or like Mustard Plays is like, I'm going to be a Fortnite creative channel, period. And that's what I'm making.
I'm in a little bit of a more, I guess, unique boat because in 2020, I had a channel that was on the uprise and that was very active with the community, but it kind of fell off just due to me having some serious health problems, and at this point having COVID 6 times.
Oh my goodness.
Really fucked my health up. But now 2 years later I'm actually able to like kind of function as a human being and do content. It's like starting over even though I have like a two-figure sub count.
Well, you're sitting at like just below 24k right now, right?
Yeah, yeah, but yeah. It doesn't feel like it just because, but like...
It feels like 1,000 at this point when you start over.
The views are non-existent.
Yeah.
Even though I'm posting daily content, and in my opinion, the best content I've made so far.
Yeah, and I think that's the most disheartening thing is whenever you make... I think that's the worst part about VOD compared to live. Like, whenever we're preparing, like, a stream, like a big event stream... I can count, man, in 5 years of streaming, I can count on maybe like one hand the times where I was surprised that our audience didn't like a stream or like a stream underperformed when I didn't. But like with the VOD, it's just like, yeah, man, you can just make the best, you know, podcast episode ever. And then you post it and it's like, I don't know. It's like nothing happens. I mean, you could, and you know, even going back to Mr. Beast, it's like, this guy has spent millions on videos that he never posted. You know, it's like, it's just chucking it up, because when you're trying to grow, unfortunately, you're just casting it into the nether and just like hoping for the best. So,
mm-hmm. Well, yeah,
I have no idea what the yield's going to be like.
I've spent a shitload of money as of recently just on getting a PC setup that can maintain high quality gaming content. And even then, it's just like, that's just a couple $1,000s, and that feels like a lot to me. And there's people that spend millions, and that's just,
mm-hmm.
I can't wrap my head around that. That's insanity.
Yeah.
Well, the people who are spending legitimately millions are people like Mr. Beast, though, trust me. I mean, where they literally have like sponsors that are pouring money into his videos for him to be able to do that. That's not typical.
I know, but like, that's just crazy to me.
Yeah. I will say you're so asking.
I just want to mention.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
You're asking about the landscape. I'm just going to talk right over you. I'm sorry. You're asking about the landscape. I will say that the sponsorships have been wild in the landscape. It's not necessarily a sponsor's fault, but consumers are definitely not activating like they used to. You know, we have like a rogue sponsorship and a Gamer Advantage sponsorship, and we had an NZXT sponsorship that was pretty awesome, and we got dropped from it. And we got dropped from it after I heard that, like, the guy who got us the sponsorship was let go. And, like, NZXT, like, let go of, like, 99% of their influencer division, right? So, like, post-pandemic, it's pretty... Unless you're pulling, like, giga numbers, it is a really rough, hard time to convince, like, sponsors that, hey, my audience will activate because you don't know anymore, right? It's kind of wild.
Well, yeah. Just from an outsider's perspective as well, I kind of get the feeling, I don't know if this is like statistically the case, but in my own experience, when sponsors kind of first came out, it was kind of like a novel thing. Like, ooh, these YouTubers are promoting a product. It felt a little bit more personal. I can see why it worked a little bit more in the beginning, but now I kind of feel like I've heard it all, and it all just feels like a Raid Shadow Legend sponsorship at the end of the day. And
yeah,
and
Raid Shadow Legend. Subscribe to Sean Boland.
It's tough because it's like, how many times can you hear Squarespace on so many podcasts before it starts to feel inauthentic, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's tough. Even us, like, we've done like 3 Raid sponsorships, and it's like, it's because Raid pays disproportionately well. Like, Raid is like one of the only sponsorships that's like this. They will pay you what your time is worth. And like the mobile game sponsorships, it's just hard because it's like, you know, you do Raid once or twice, it's cool. But then after that, it's like my audience knows if they wanted Raid, they would have got it by now. Right. So I'll stop. But yeah, if you look at stuff like that, like Squarespace or Wix, and it's just like, man, they just sponsor everybody because it's probably really cheap to just kind of like bomb it down there.
Yeah. Also, there was probably a time, like I was saying in the beginning, where, you know, people probably are like, oh, I should get a website or something. And Squarespace is not bad, but after 7 years of it, maybe.
Yeah.
Tired of it at that point. I don't know. Well, this has been kind of bleak, guys. You're just being honest.
Earlier, you were talking about.
I feel.
What's that?
Oh, I was going to say, I feel ready to quit YouTube. Let's go.
No, I think it's just like, you should only, it's like anything, man. You should only quit whenever it's not fun. And if lack of growth makes it not fun, it's enough to quit. Like, I'm not telling you to quit, but it's like, is the lack of growth enough to make you not enjoy making it? And I don't know, for a lot of people it's not, and I'll just keep doing it. But mm-hmm. if it affects you that way, like if I post a YouTube video, I'll be like, man, that was not worth the fucking time. And so it makes me not want to do it. And so I don't. And like it leads to us not growing as much. And it's definitely not good for like hang time to not be posting YouTube videos all the time. Like mm-hmm. it's definitely not the right thing to do. But it's the correct thing to do to not have me and the guys work 14 hours a day. You know, it's the best thing for our mental health. And if our growth comes at the cost of our mental health, I'm not willing to do it, if that makes sense. So
I respect that. And my current headspace when it comes to just content creation in general, it gives me a sense of purpose because I like feeling like I'm minimum doing something. And I've had a lot of health challenges, so it's nice to be able to still make something, even if it's from my home. And it helps keeping a routine, having goals, and just saying like, hey, I'm going to throw up a video daily that's tightly edited and that I'm proud of. And if I can succeed doing that, then it should bleed into the other parts of my life. And it has, like, I've mm-hmm. recovered quite a bit physically. I'm back to working full time and keeping a good routine when it comes to medication and just taking care of myself with dietary stuff and even physical activities, all because I said, hey, I want to make a daily video and stick to holding myself accountable.
I think that's a great way of looking at it. It's like, it's when it doesn't bleed over positively. And if it bleeds over negatively, then it's like, you know, that's when it's not worth it. But clearly it sounds like it helps you a lot. So, you know, that should be an encouraging thing for sure.
Also, like logistically, there are ways that you can optimize your process. And Justin, we, you know, since I've been working with you on the channel, we've improved that a lot in terms of efficiency and not spending like all day figuring things out, getting a better computer so you don't have to like spend four times as long editing.
Yeah, and, actually, like yesterday I was really fucking angry after my laptop crashed and I lost like 3+ hours of editing. I just immediately bought a new one and I'm like, fuck this, I'm not going to waste my time being inefficient.
Mm-hmm. Also, it's good content. I mean, I think you've had one of the bigger blow-ups I've seen in terms of, you know,
well,
the stuff
I appreciate you giving me the compliment as a partner, but it also like it is a little biased because you're in the content.
I know, but I mean, I can see that even just your like comedic instincts and stuff have improved quite a lot.
Well, I appreciate
even since
that.
Like March at that point.
And I'm really trying to focus as well on content growth, just in like collaborations, because if you can't like organically grow, might as well try and just email people and build connections and relationships and see if you can grow that way.
Yeah,
I also try to not. That's useful for growth as well. But I've also been trying to enjoy those socially as much as I can when we do those. Because I mean, if we're just doing them for business, that's not really that pleasant. And so,
well, it's like nice when like you have a business type recording with someone and it goes well and you become friends, and that's fantastic.
For sure.
If the recording is just like, hey, this was a good recording, our personalities are kind of different, you just move on from that video and go on to the next thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, Sean, you're in a very different situation than we are right now, where I remember checking your channel earlier today and you guys are broadcasting live to like 500 people, I think. And so by some metric, I would say you guys have definitely, quote unquote, made it. And I'm curious where you guys want to go with that in the future.
Well, let me tell you something about Twitch front page promotion that we've had for about 3 weeks. I'm gonna depress you guys even more.
I was just trying to be positive.
No, you're fine. No. So like I've seen this a lot from the chat, and it honestly scares the shit out of me. They're like, oh my god, you guys are doing so good. It's like, and it definitely feels, it feels better like when you see that you have like 500 or 600 people watching. But we've been in a front page Twitch carousel for like a month and a half. And we actually have like maybe 180 to 220 people watching. We've actually been in a spot that I've had to get comfortable with, because pandemic, we were like, 260 to 300, like real people watching, tipping, supporting, chatting. But, you know, I guess it's just people going back to work. I don't think it's a content quality issue, but it is like, you know, we'll be streaming and we were streaming to like 140, 160 people. And it's like, man, what the fuck happened? Like, I'd be checking Twitter to see if like something happened or, you know, the Discord to see if there's like been a meltdown or something. But like, it is really hard. But the struggle is making sure the audience knows like, hey, there's not really 500 people here. We still need you to go into the Discord and like, be like, hey, come to the channel, like, get in here. It's tough because there's going to be a time where we have like 400 to 600 people watching at a time right now, which is great. The best part is we don't know how many people are really there, so we're streaming like 600 people are watching. It's good for our mental health, you know, but like, obviously we would be in a much better mood seeing 600 than 150, right?
For sure.
But like,
by the way, you did use a term a few minutes ago, and I'll clarify it for the audience who may not be familiar. You need to find a Twitch carousel, by the way.
Yeah, so we're in a featured, we're considered pretty brand safe. Our Twitch partner manager is a really cool guy, and he puts us, when you open up Twitch, there's a preview on the front page of Twitch. There's a little carousel that you can scroll through channels, right? So when you open up Twitch, it's very likely you're going to see us on the front page. It doesn't mean you're on our channel. It just means that there is somebody who might have Twitch open and your page is being displayed right now, right? Okay. I was working a conference for growth and content creators, and somebody was kind of like mid-sized said, hey, how do I get people to come from the front page of Twitch to my channel? And I'll tell you what I told him. I said, this is probably the most impossible conversion there is to make. It's less possible. It's almost less possible than getting a regular viewer to donate to your channel is getting somebody to click your channel page and come follow. Because, you know, there might be 100,000 people on the front page of Twitch, 500 of them. That view also counts if somebody has just scrolled past your channel by like clicking the arrow to make the carousel go around, right? And often that carousel is muted. Like you can't hear what they're saying. Mm-hmm. So we can't even be like constantly telling the front page people to come to the channel, right? So that's what that means. There might be, you know, we might have like 150 to 200 people really watching, and then there's probably about 300 to 400 on the carousel catching us.
By the way, I know that this is a very, very obvious response to that, but I'll just be Captain Obvious here and say, isn't that obviously kind of shady that they're kind of doing it that way? Because it's giving kind of false impressions.
I don't know if it's shady. I will say that I have voiced to my partner manager, hey, I can't tell. Like, we stream 7 Days to Die today. Usually 7 Days to Die gets like really low viewership. We play it because we fucking love it, right? But yeah. Like maybe 150, 160 people are going to watch 7 Days to Die. Today, the only data I have viewership wise is that 550 people watched it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if 100 people watched it and it's like, hey, none of your audience showed up to it. You should definitely not play that again. I wouldn't be able to tell you, right? There's no lineation where I can look at my analytics and say, you know, 300 carousel viewers, 200 real hang time viewers, or, you know, 600 carousel viewers, 100. That is a huge oversight to me that's not an analytic thing, but I will be transparent with you in that analytics for Twitch. If you are an actual business and not like a single streamer, like trying to make a living, they have absolute dog shit analytics for actual like business running and how they handle revenue, like ad splits, contracted dollars, stuff like that. Like, I can't see shit.
It just seems more frustrating than helpful, if anything.
Yeah. I think the good thing is that's the, besides collaborating with other players, like us streaming with Bruce in Apex, or me sitting in on Michael Jones's stream, right? Like, The carousel is the only organic growth on all of Twitch. It is a huge privilege, and I'm really happy that we have it because it's the only way to get cold people in. The issue is that on Twitch, people don't look for other channels. People go to Twitch to watch Nick Merckx. They go to watch Bruce. They go to watch Kinda Funny. They go to watch Hang Time. There's, I think I saw 40% of all Twitch users just watch like Hassan, Mizkif,
Critical,
XQC, Asmongold. Yeah.
Jerma.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. I think 60% of all of Twitch audience only watch like four channels because Twitch has not developed a community of like YouTube of like, what's over there? What's over here? What's over here? Right.
Yeah.
But at the same time, yeah. Our audience, you know, our hardcore audience that supports what we do, like with all due respect to any other creator, they're going to pick us over them every single time. Just like Bruce's Goose is going to, you know, if Bruce is playing Baldur's Gate and we're playing Baldur's Gate, you're going to go watch Bruce first every time. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Unless we're doing it and we're hanging hog or something. Right. So,
so yeah, I'm kind of gathering that since there's like these, you know, go to Twitch channels and such, it's better to play, I guess, games that they're not actively playing at the moment, is what I'm gathering.
Yeah, as far as organic discovery, I always found that even because I streamed by myself for a little bit, and of course I had like the Screw Attack heads up, but I did start streaming on my personal channel a long time ago, and I did grow outside. I started out with like 15 to 20 people that would watch my streams, right? But like I did organically grow from being the top stream on like certain game categories. I remember I started a Final Fantasy 15 playthrough like 6 months after it came out. And at that time I had like 30 people watching, but 30 people watching put me as like the second or third highest Final Fantasy 15 streaming channel. And my viewership grew to like 100.
Okay. I'm writing this shit down.
Yeah. I can tell you it worked then as a solo channel. For Hang Time, it has worked like next to never over the in Game Attack 2. It's worked like next to never.
I see.
Do you think what you were saying a little bit earlier, by the way, about how the people just aren't really going out and checking other channels, do you think that has to do on some level with just the nature of the websites? Because like I've been saying before, I'll offer my kind of like viewer perspective here in that when I go watch YouTube, I don't click on the homepage at all. I click on my subscriptions. But even when I'm watching the content that I want to watch, there is that little sidebar on the side that's like, ooh, hey, after this video, you want to watch some of these. And I found a lot of really good content that way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I get the impression that like Twitch streamers probably wouldn't like it if they had that set up on Twitch.
Yeah.
Like, he'll watch these people instead. So I don't think that would work.
Yeah, like out of the 60,000 people that are watching Pokemon play Valorant, like how many of them do I expect to come in and watch me and the guys play Jenga and only up at the same time? Like zero. Like
wait, no, that sounds fucking awesome though.
I know, it is awesome. And we did it Wednesday and we're going to do it again tomorrow, but like I do not expect any of them to come over, right? And I think with YouTube, there's no utility to Twitch, right? Anytime you go into a stream, if you didn't start at the beginning, you have to come in and say what's happening. Every time you click a video, YouTube video, you click it at least with the promise of something's going to happen by the end of its 5 to 12 minutes, right?
That is true.
And that's, again, what we were saying with value proposition. Like, if I'm watching a GQ actors roundtable thing, right? And I see Doug DeMiro over on my left-hand side. I'm thinking to myself, ooh, what is Doug DeMiro going to show me? And then I click it, and he's going to show me a 1985 Mercedes Evo. And I'm like, cool. And then I'll watch it for 12 minutes, and then I'll find the next thing. Even if I was successfully converted to another Twitch stream, it's like, what's happening? Oh, you're in the middle of this thing? Oh, see you later. You know, it's hard. And it's a lot to ask of an audience to invest in this 2 to 5 hour story, especially compared to YouTube.
that's been a huge staple of my new content is, for the most part, even like in the middle of a gaming series I've been doing, you're able to just jump into the video, watch the video, and get some enjoyment out of it, even if it's like a part 7 of a series.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been making the editing snappy, short, quick, and since I have Lars with me to kind of banter off of, we, and I've heard this from other people as well, we kind of give off the vibes of like a more, I guess, like raunchy game grumps, and uh-huh. we can just take an older game or just any game in general and just have fun with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but we've been strategic with it too. I mean, it's...
No, we have. I'm just saying though, like, if you have a form of content that's easily digestible, then it's the exact opposite of like someone trying to stream a full game, because the audience at the end of the day is going to still see that 50 to 60 minute time chunk of them trying to get past something.
Yeah. I also hear what Sean was saying a minute ago about like there, when you click on a video, it's guaranteed content, I guess is the way I might put it, is like there's going to be something that, especially if you're someone you're subscribed to, it's a guaranteed to be like at least mildly satisfying experience. Like whenever I see like Nikki Jakey.
Yes, exactly. Because you subscribed, you know, it's going to be at least it might be interesting to you. Right.
Yeah. Like every time Jakey uploads, I'll watch his videos right away because I know for a fact that he has put in the work.
Yes.
To make these very tightly edited yoga ball gamer videos. And with Twitch, obviously with no defense to them, it's, you know, sometimes it can depend on the day, whether like it's the most exciting stream or not. And some of the other ones are just like a little bit more casual.
Yeah. Like yesterday we cleaned our office. It was probably boring as shit, but some people were like, that was a very chill stream to have on the background. Thank you so much.
Also, people like a good gimmick sometimes.
That's how I feel with Dunkey as well. Like his YouTube videos, always watch him immediately, but his live streams is just like, oh, it's just something to more so chill to. And it's not necessarily like anywhere near as snappy as his YouTube content, because it's not really what they're going for.
Because he cheats and he records the voiceover afterwards. It's good stuff, but he cheats.
I know he cheats.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. By the way, TJ, we've been kind of hogging the conversation here a little bit. I want to give you a chance to jump in.
What you're talking about is very interesting. It's just like, how do I like get in the conversation? I was trying to find a way to get in, but I was...
we'll give you the floor.
I was responding to the recording stage chat with the conversation that was going in there. So,
all right, TJ, you got a topic, right?
Yes. So, Sean, you had mentioned earlier when you're talking about the landscape of, I guess, internet content creation, not just like YouTube and Twitch, but I did notice that you mentioned TikTok, and one of my topics I wanted to bring up is TikTok does have streams, and I did notice a sort of trend that I've noticed with TikTok streams, because they work a bit different from how Twitch works, but a lot of the content, like the streamers on TikTok, have kind of adopted this trend where they act like video game NPCs because...
Oh, yeah.
Ice cream's so good. Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah, of course. Classic.
Because TikTok, the way TikTok streams work is that they kind of have like a system where you can gift the streamer with emotes.
Yeah.
And the way they set it up is like when you send specific emotes, they will respond in a sort of like pre-programmed
popcorn,
way.
Popcorn, yum. Mm,
yeah,
popcorn.
Ice cream's so good. Mm. Yeah, ice cream's so good. Yum, yum.
Ice cream's so good. Yum. Mm-hmm. Chelsea and I will like, my wife and I will just be hanging out, and I'll hear Chelsea just in the kitchen go, ice cream, gimme, yum. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's so strange.
I mean, whoever came up with it is genius. I mean, it's delightfully surreal. I mean,
I think it originated in with Japanese streamers. Because I did a little bit of research into it. Like, I think the original one was literally doing like these sort of like mime-esque movements that were very cartoonish, where she's like a gacha game NPC, and it's like one of the creepiest things I've ever seen, because of how unnatural it looks.
Yeah, I, you know. God, it is kind of like ASMR to me, where it's like, I don't, if a kid does it and it's creepy, it's kind of, it's just weird. And I've seen a lot of like people parroting it, which is really funny.
Yeah.
And the NPC thing, I think it's just like the first time the world has ever experienced, oh, they'll do something if I pay them. And I think because it's so fucking stupid and simple that like we do that on Hang Time like every fucking day. Like, yeah. Except for instead of like us saying, popcorn, it's like, hey, you give us $10, we pull a Jenga block out of this thing. And then if the tower falls, we have to start over and only up, right? Or it's
I
like
I was watching the VOD that you did for that with Only Up recently.
Well, yeah, that's also very common on TikTok as well, where it's like they're playing a game similar or literally the game Jump King, and if you donate a certain amount, they have to like jump all the way down to the bottom.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like, but I think the reason the NPC thing is blown up so much is because it's like your grandma tunes in to Twitch, right? Mm-hmm. She doesn't know what the fuck is happening. But if like, I don't know, but if your grandpa's thumbing through TikTok and then what's this lady doing? Oh, she's reacting to the popcorn. I'm gonna give her some popcorn. You know what I mean? It's so cold and empty. I'll say it's so soulless that
sorry, I found a spider. It was crawling on my leg.
Literally, because they are emulating like soulless AI.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's so soulless that it's so easy to understand that it becomes easy to support, if that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
We did during our King of Spring thing, we did a high five stream. This is before the NPC thing blew up. But I had this idea to where we just stood in a field and then different donation amounts made us eventually walk towards each other and give each other a high five. It was like $4 for a step left, $2 for a step right, $10 to turn around the other way, you know, $50 to raise your hand, you know, $20 to walk forward. I don't remember the amounts, but the chat had to like figure it out, right? They had to just donate random amounts to then understand what happened, right? And I love doing like social experiments with content, right? Especially stuff like that, because I want to see if we'll get really close to high-fiving and then somebody will tip like $10 to make us turn around and then the chat thinks it's funny to make us walk the other way, right? But like that's one of like the most beloved streams to our audience, and I think it was because it was simple and it gave them, you know, like a like immediate physical feedback, right? And I think that especially if you have a pool of 200,000 people watching you on a platform that's as easy to use. TikTok is, there will never be a better video platform than TikTok. Like, it doesn't get easier than that because you hold your phone straight up and down.
Yep.
The algorithm is perfect. The content is instant. And more than anything, it's normal people. You're watching a plumber pull something gross out of a drain. Then you're watching a lady take care of bees. Then you're watching a 35-year-old mom just like you complaining about her kids. And then you're watching a Sheryl Crow concert, right? And whether you're a dude who's thumbing through hot tattoo girls and then
boosted memes, yeah, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and then
self-exposure.
Funny, yep, you got it. And then memes and then pimple popping, like it is so instant and curated. It's I actually don't use TikTok because of how amazing it is. I'm a Reddit slut as it is, but TikTok is such an incredible platform that I would never, like, I wouldn't open Instagram, I wouldn't open Reddit, I wouldn't play video games, I wouldn't play my Steam Deck. Like, if I use TikTok, my off time off work would be watching movies with Chelsea and watching TikTok.
Yeah, I mean, the way you're describing it as quote unquote amazing, I imagine it's how people who do heroin would describe it as amazing in that it's so good that it's going to ruin your life at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
There's but not a better like, delivery. Kind
of, yeah, it's also like, I mean, what you're saying is true about content that's all pretty much throwaway stuff. I mean, I've used TikTok, it's very entertaining, but I don't really get any sort of, I've never seen anything that I felt was super profound on it. And I do ultimately find myself gravitating back towards YouTube still kind of every time.
That's why I use Reddit.
That's the opposite for me. I use TikTok way too much.
It's really because there's not really a barrier to entry to use TikTok. Like, you'll get people posting content there that probably would have never had a YouTube channel, but now you have random like an 85-year-old posting TikTok videos, and he's just like being weird, and you would have never seen that on YouTube.
Yeah, and I think what's also great about TikTok is like this guy, you know the guy who like goes around and asks to mow lawns for free, like. Mm-hmm.
Yes, like, yes.
It's just like, that guy is a hero. People stop and talk to him and are like, hey, I know you. That guy would have never been like, he might have, but I promise you he's more likely to do it on TikTok than be like, okay, I'm going to take that home and edit it and put it up on YouTube. You know, like.
Mm-hmm. It's true, yeah.
So it's awesome, but I just can't use it. My thing with Reddit is, at least with Reddit, I'm punctuated with reading interesting stuff on politics or scientific breakthroughs and shit like that in between my hot tattoo girls. So
yeah, actually, I got tired of just seeing porn on Reddit all the time.
Tristan,
it's based on what subs that you have on your account. I mean, it's if you see
self-report.
Yeah, Tristan, you need to stop browsing Goon Caves and AOC feet pics.
Okay, here I come. What was it? One more time.
Oh, you don't
just playing
AOC feet pics.
AOC feet. There's some weird AOC subreddits.
Before we wrap up,
Reddit does have a dark side. Yeah.
Before we wrap up for the day, does anyone have anything else?
Wrap up. Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh. Go ahead. No.
Oh. We can keep going for a little bit longer if you guys want.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just saying, if y'all have more stuff, like, I'll go a little longer if you want me. I'm just saying, don't feel constrained.
For sure. No.
Don't feel constrained by me if there's a weird pressure to go another or to cut it short or anything.
No, absolutely. And by the way, Sean, I've actually really appreciated that you've gone into detail with your answers here. You obviously have a lot of insight on the platform, and I think the listeners are going to appreciate that as well.
Yeah. So. I'm also just being considerate as well of like everyone's time.
So
some people are usually like an hour.
I'm a yapper, so I'll talk a lot.
Yeah.
So, oh, okay.
That's right. It's a podcast, so that's very useful. Yeah. So
Sean, do you like pasta?
Yeah, I went to an Italian place at Chelsea the other night. I got rigatoni alla vodka. I love a chicken marsala. Tortellini. Oh my god. Yeah, I'm a slut for pasta. What kind do you have, and when you bringing it over?
You're making me fucking hungry, but I make a lot of Asian pastas just because of some dietary restrictions, but it means I've gotten fucking good at it. So
he's vegan, so pasta's like a go-to.
Oh yeah, of course.
In that situation.
So, I was vegan for 2 or 3 years.
Nice.
And then I stopped because I can't travel and not eat.
You relapsed. You relapsed back into meat eating.
Yeah. I've traveled to a decent amount of the world at this point. There are places where you can and can't really get away with that.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It doesn't work in certain areas.
I make a really good pad thai.
Okay.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
We'll serve
up. We just got a rice maker, and Chelsea's been experimenting a little bit with it.
So
she's okay with it.
Clef in the voice chat on Discord.com/thefirstpod or T1 podcast.
Nope.
No, is it?
That's not the URL.
Let's try that again.
All right. Discord.com/thefirstpodcast?
Here, I'll type it in the chat for you, bud.
Sean should check out our Goon Caves live on the recording.
Discord.t1podcast.com. Okay. Yeah.
Let's try that a fourth time.
Discord.t1podcast.com.
Let's try it without you slurring your words.
I'll do it for you. I did notice, by the way, that Clef has said something in the chat.
I'm trying.
Discord.t1podcast.com. And TJ, you wanted to kind of get into that?
Yes, please. I just want to say it. Okay, so Clef suggests that Sean should check out r/GoonCaves live on the recording.
Don't do that, guys.
That's probably not a good idea.
Don't.
I'm looking.
Oh, hold on. No. I got you. What is it?
46,000 members.
Reddit.com.
Yeah. Explain to you.
Goon.
Do you know what gooning is?
It's like shitty battle stations, but for neats, basically, is the best way to describe it.
I do not know what gooning is.
Goon caves. The idea of a goon cave is that you have a PC set up specifically for viewing and jerking off.
Whoa.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
That's a lot of...
And Goon
That's
Games.
A whole lot of...
Ew!
Goon Games is
these guys got 18 screens of up all the time. Oh my god!
What the... Is that guy doing cocaine with his dick?
Oh boy!
He's doing coke with his cock! Coke cock!
Okay.
Whoa.
That's Reddit for you.
One, two, yep. three, da, four, da, da, five, da, da, six. Da, da. Six screens. What? Oh, I mean, having on your LG TV, that's you know, eh.
Is Goon is like a PC? It's like a... Goon is like a... Like a addict?
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah, Gooner is someone with a... It has a addict, and they turn addiction into a fetish.
What?
So, yeah, it's very...
Rate my Goon Cave?
Yeah, our previous...
Like, the idea is like a goon is someone whose like brain has rotted from it, essentially.
Yeah, our previous co-host on this podcast...
Like a walking zombie.
Like a slave, like a slave to it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love a succubus. Wait,
guys, I have a hilarious quick reading if you're interested.
Okay.
Okay, nope. Just make it quick enough, please.
Ad friendly, Tristan, please.
I'll censor the gross bits. How about that?
No, don't.
Well, there's not going to be anything left.
Change any gross word to puppy.
Puppy.
Okay. Rate my puppy cave. Every single day from the moment I wake up, I just want to puppy. It's in my blood and it kills me to be away from my babes. My family says it's a big problem and my neighbors keep filing noise complaints with their landlord with how I blast my puppy videos extremely loud. I really couldn't care less. They couldn't know what it's like to spend 10-hour-long puppy sessions every day. It's just so fucking amazing to have everyone in my apartment complex label me as the puppy addict. It really must have gotten bad because my landlord came in looking to follow up with all the puppy complaints. I tried to keep her from barging in, but eventually I gave in and she saw my puppy cave, pic attached. There's about 100 pictures of puppies all over the walls and like 5 screens.
What kinds of puppies? Describe them to me. Describe these puppies.
I with that word, I'm not comfortable. I'm sorry. I'm not Shane Dawson.
In detail. Describe
and I can't.
Pick one I could, puppy and describe it. Just one.
A lot of purple lingerie.
Oh.
I could see the fear in her eyes as she stood there, frozen in place. I tried to explain how everyone always tries to keep up, tries to keep us puppies down from enjoying ourselves. There's nothing wrong with self-pleasure, but she couldn't understand, and she left in a hurry. In my heart, I knew it wasn't about the BBC or step puppy videos. I put on Max through my speakers. Oh, he put it on Max? It was because I was just different in trying to express my puppyish ways. I couldn't let this stand, so I bought more speakers and increased my puppy sessions to 12 hours. 12 hours of blasting this shit. I even took a little 2-week-long puppycation from work just to show everyone who I was and what I puppied for. Anyway, yeah. That's how I got evicted from my apartment. Please rate my puppy den and tell me what you think. XOXO.
Oh yeah. Oh man, that was a heater. Yeah. Thank you for that.
So, two upvotes. Yeah. This was just posted.
So too long didn't read. It's basically like the Hangtime Battleship, or you know, their gaming
gosh.
Setup, but it's just specifically for.
That was fucking wild, bro.
Amazing. That was wild.
But yeah, for context, our previous co-host on this podcast kind of have like an inside joke with Goon Caves where
okay
yeah they just bring it up so but yeah
it's really depressing to browse it's funny to see it the first time but the second time it's like
ew!
Worried about the human race.
Ew!
Stop looking guys, stop focus.
Yeah stop,
this
stop.
Guy's cock looks like a fucking sauerkraut mashed between a meat muncher.
God!
Ew!
Just okay. Stop talking.
Okay. We can move on to a different
topic. Enough.
Shit. Hers is bigger than mine.
Nope. Okay. Enough. Okay. Tristan. Got it.
Okay, I'm done. I'm done.
Interesting.
Yeah. Let's stop talking about puppies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Puppies.
Anyways.
All right.
Okay. In the
anyway, I
do have another topic actually.
Go for it.
In the beginning, you mentioned like the last time I think you went to RTX. I was actually at RTX Guardian 4 times, and I think I've been near you, but I've never actually interacted with you. So it's just kind of weird how it just kind of ended up this way.
Worked out, yeah.
Yeah.
What? No. Way to go, TJ. I think I've been close to you. I could smell your sweat.
It's not,
TJ, but I wasn't.
You've had like
that's creepy.
Such fanboy vibes this episode the entire time. You're like, well, I'm glad you could come on. I was near you in a conference.
thanks for on me. Thanks for checking my goon case.
It was before I ever really watched Game Attack. I almost said Game Time.
Game Time.
Yeah,
that was Game Time for sure.
But like, cause I know I worked at the I've met everyone else.
Maybe the merch store.
Yeah, I worked at the merch store, and I think I've seen you.
Yeah, I would have been yelling at people and stuff to buy merchandise. So,
but I have met Chad, and I've met the other guy.
Stop jerking off,
Sam. Ew.
Yeah. Also, one of our previous hosts was actually one of the editors over at Inside Gaming. I don't know if you
okay.
Did you know Amir?
No, or, I don't think so. I never met anybody from Inside Gaming.
Mm-hmm.
But
okay,
there was when I was at RTX. You know, it wasn't like Game Attack. Game Attack, when we were there, like, it was, I got stopped a lot. Like, I couldn't go anywhere. It was awesome. I'm glad I got to feel that, like, once in my life. But sure. This time, I probably got stopped, like, a dozen times. But, like, it was so sweet. This one guy came up to me, and he goes, Sean, oh, man, I'm so excited about everything you've been doing with, shit. Because he didn't know what hang time was called.
Oh, okay. You couldn't think of the game time? Yeah.
He goes, shit. And I was like, I'm not telling you what it's called. You're going to have to stew in it. And I just made him sit there for like a minute, and then I told him. And he was so sweet. But yeah, RTX was pretty cool. They definitely scaled down a lot. But it was much more intimate. I would argue that this last RTX, like, if you paid for VIP, if you bought a ticket to RTX, you probably got more one-on-one time with our Rooster Teeth cast than, like, in any RTX in history. It's almost a shame that, like, all that shit's going down with them, and the community seems to be so resentful of everybody that's there.
Yeah, that is unfortunate. The other person I was thinking was Ben, Ben Singer.
But
the name blanked out on me.
Yeah, Ben's the man.
But, speaking of Amir, I think he lives in Dallas now. Like, I think he moved there recently.
Okay, I'll have to look him up. Maybe get him in the studio.
Small world, yeah.
Yes. Sean, this person you've never met lives close to you.
No.
I'm just saying.
It's Doplex the YouTuber. Yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know. They both have Rooster Teeth origins.
Okay.
Yeah. Easy in.
Yeah. By the way, I wanted to kind of bring this in before, a little bit more organically, but I will mention it just because it's so bizarre. We can wrap after this if you guys want. But
okay.
Speaking of the whole, like, NPCs and, like, paying essentially tokens to get them to do stuff, are you guys aware of the Germa 985 dollhouse?
No.
I think I've heard of it.
Is this where...
I've heard of it.
Is that, I know he did a stream where you could control him directly and stuff, didn't he?
Yeah. So Germa is... I don't even know how to describe his content. It's like content that seems like it's very normal dude playing video game stuff, but it's got like this bizarre sort of postmodern surrealist thing going on to it, where just like every interaction with him feels like a fever dream. And what he started doing is taking advantage of his large audience. And in 2021, actually, was the last time he did this. He actually did a stream where he was not an NPC, but the actual playable character in a live version of The Sims. And people who were tuning in could use like a plugin for Twitch and actually control his actions. And he had like the need bars with, like, you know, like needing to pee, needing to eat, needing to like socially interact and stuff. I don't know. I think that's really interesting.
No, it's awesome content. We've emulated that before we did these isolation streams where we locked ourselves in a box. Uh-huh. But it was more like a torture stream than like a, Which the second I saw that he had push-ups as an option, like exercise, I was like, they're going to torture him to death. Like, they're going to kill him. And that's what happened. His chat was just like, how about more push-ups? How about some more push-ups? You like those? How about some more push-ups? But yeah, that was an amazing stream. I mean, yeah, that was like, that was one of those streams where it's like, man, I wish I would have thought of that first, right? So I could have credit for doing that.
I think that
he's pulling like 600,000 people to watch it too.
Yeah.
That's like basketball numbers. Like,
yeah. Yeah, it is.
I think the reason why that and like the, you know, the NPC streamer trend kind of took off, because I think with streaming, people want to, they want to interact with the streamer in a way where it seems like they are, I don't know, affecting how the stream is happening, but they're kind of taking
jurisdiction over the content, right?
They're kind of taking it to the next step where the interactivity is like you're controlling the streamer yourself.
Yeah.
It's like a kind of a mutated version of that thing where like you go and you watch someone stream and you're like, hey creator, and like when they say hey you, it's like it feels good. Is that what you're saying? Or
yeah, that's what I mean, is like people want the creator to respond to what they're doing, and this is a way to like, okay, if I do this specific thing, then the creator will have to do what I want in a way. It's like a
hi Sean Bolin. Hi, nice to meet you. Hi Sean.
They can't ignore me.
I think I've said this before. Yeah. I'm glad no one's ever got mad at me, but like for saying this, but I think the best content is the content where you give your audience so much power that they have no choice to support the stream. Mm-hmm. It's like we did a road trip stream a couple of years ago where they gifted subs and bits to fill up a gas tank of a car. And we drove across around the country. We drove from like Dallas to Austin to LA to San Fran, and we drove across the country to Chicago, to New York, and then down to Florida, and then back to Texas. And we streamed the whole thing.
Yeah.
But the stream was, hey, subs equals gas miles, right? And then like we would stop in each city and then meet people who are watching the stream. We would do like a big dinner, like in Phoenix or Chicago or whatever, right?
That's and, fucking like, incredible, dude. Like, holy shit.
Oh yeah, it was awesome. But I think we ended the month with like, it was an awesome month. I think we had like 60K in support that month, but we spent like 15 to 20K like on the stream, obviously, because we're staying in hotels and buying dinner for everybody, and it was just like a huge community builder. But like I think there was a lot of times, like we got to Jersey, we had like 16 miles left, right? Or we were going to turn around and come home, right? Like we ran out of gas, so we'd end the stream and just drive back. But like the content was so good because you're literally watching us drive to El Paso, then meet a community member in El Paso. And then like we drive up and we drive up a mountain and we're streaming us like overlooking Juarez. Right. And then that was like the first night of the stream. We got to El Paso. And after that, I looked at Grayson and I said, we're going to lap the whole country. And Grayson was like, yeah, this content's so good. There's no way we're not getting to Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, there's no way that they're not going to get us to Kind of Funny. And it's like, oh, it's no way they're not going to get us to see mountains in Colorado. And then there's no way we're not going to get to Chicago. And then once we got to Chicago, it was like, we're driving to New York. Like, because the power that the audience had to literally bring us to them was like in control, because they're literally directing the content and saying, you're going here next, right? So like that kind of content, like that German stream or like a road trip stream or even like that high five stream, it's like that's the content I'm always after or trying to come up with ideas for, is the content that I know will be successful because the content is so good and so controlled by the chat that there's no choice. It's too good. When I say no choice, it's not like They have to, but like, it's too good not to.
Well, they just naturally want to.
Yeah, exactly.
I've been watching, like, sometimes Pay Money Webby will do this on his streams where he'll be playing a video game, but he'll let people in the audience pay a certain dollar amount to put like a picture on the screen to block his game screen. Uh-huh. And eventually it all fills up, obviously very quickly.
Yes.
People want to see him fail.
And it's just dog shit on the screen, right? It's just the worst.
Of course,
stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like memes from the channel and stuff like that. And then it's like crack cocaine at that point to them, because they want to pay to support, because it's funny. It's like they make it better content by supporting it. So it's like just natural at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Something along those lines as well that I've always wanted to see. Like, I'm personally gonna pick pasta for this type of stream, but I've always wanted to see someone streaming themselves like in a store, like a giant food store, and they have donations and like certain tiers and stuff, and the chat donates and picks all the ingredients for the dish. And the streamer has to like incorporate all of that into a recipe and eat the dish, as long as it's edible and safe to eat, you know, obviously.
Yeah.
It would come up with the most batshit crazy recipe.
You wouldn't let them buy bleach, put that in there. Like, don't do that.
No. Yeah, you'd have to put chemical limits.
Yeah, you can't. You'd have to have some limits, but yeah.
You'd love this, because we actually did a stream a lot like that where we had we were streaming from my kitchen and we had three hot plates. Mm-hmm. And we had to cook three different meals, and Chef Mike was watching us over Discord. Mm-hmm. And we had to cook three different meals, and it was like $20 tips or whatever. No, I think it was like $100 tips. And Chase, our TD, had set up random ingredient bags to where it was. And so the mission was like, make a hot sandwich, and then we get tipped and we open the bag and it's like, there's a funfetti cake in here and some mandarin oranges and green beans.
That's the thing, though. Like,
kind of like Iron Chef.
That's like more of a mystery bag stream. I'm talking about like you go in a store and you have like a certain like donation tier where the person is able to add text, and that's the food you have to buy.
Yeah.
I think one problem you might encounter is that a lot of stores don't want you filming in the store. So you might probably have to ask.
It's always forgiveness instead of permission. We always just do it. I don't know if that helps, but just go in there. Just go in there.
Well, certain Walmarts will definitely crack down on you for that, but I mean, it depends on the store.
I mean, just go to a different store if you get in trouble.
Yeah, just yell at them and say, I'll take my business elsewhere.
Well, you don't want to alienate the places that you go to, though. Like, you still want to be able to shop.
You always drive one town over.
I guess. Forever.
Stream yourself getting into a fight with the loss prevention guy.
See, and that's what I'm saying. Then you go viral, and then...
Of course.
That's how you grow. You get into a fight with somebody in public, and great. All that hard work you did for 5 years, building a hangar, doing road trips, doesn't mean anything. Mm. I'm going to go fight somebody under a bridge, and I'll go viral.
All right, let's go. I'll meet you there.
Because then Kotaku will report it.
It's just like...
Then they'll talk about it.
Just bum fights 2.0, where you just bring that back.
Exactly. It's very easy.
Yeah, that was really fucked up content, by the way. Looking back on it.
It was.
It was. What a dark time.
Yeah.
I was watching a Kevin Slice documentary, and I was like, I can't believe this guy got famous for breaking people's orbital bones. And
it was from
like we watched this for fun.
It was from that Jackass era where everybody was just trying to do the most fucked up shit.
I'll close with a little fun story about this Dateline episode I remember about Jackass in 2020, I think, was trying to like tell the world that Jackass was hurting kids. And there was this video. I always think about this, but this kid, he had burned himself trying to make Jackass videos with his friends because they were like trying to emulate it.
Oh God.
And this kid just like puts gasoline all over his arm and sets his arm on fire.
No.
Oh, fuck yeah.
And he's like screaming in agony. And he jumps into a swimming pool to put it out. And I remember like it cut to Johnny Knoxville or something, and they were like, how do you feel about it? And Johnny Knoxville was like, we put a warning at the beginning of the show not to do anything like that. So, and so his shit was so funny. But yeah, I don't know. I thought about that.
Kids lighting themselves on fire from where I'm from. We call that saucing the spaghetti.
Nice.
Yeah. By the way, silver lining. I kid'll never do that again. So
yeah, you learn something. Yeah. Learn something new.
Yeah. All right, Sean, you've been a. I'll just say you've been a real one on this episode. Thank you for answering our terrible questions at length and really indulging us with some good insight on the back end at Twitch, the logistics of YouTube and everything, and letting us know that we can get Mr. Beast level consulting for only $800. So
yeah,
appreciate it a lot.
Anybody can do it. Hey, I want to say thank you for who was that Spaghetto that was reading the puppy thing, or was that, who was that?
That was Spaghetto.
That was
Spaghetto.
Me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Way
was,
to go.
That was great.
You made me really, 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 really laugh. And that means a yeah. lot. So I appreciate
it. I try really hard to make the guests laugh, so thank you. I appreciate it.
All right.
That was just like lightning in a bottle there. That was a really good confluence of,
was hilarious.
Of ideas.
Wait, can I finally click off the subreddit now?
Yeah, you could have done that an hour ago.
I mean, if you're finished, oh, yes.
Okay. I've left it open the whole time thinking I had to keep it open.
Hey, Tristan, why does it say that you're subscribed to subreddit?
Yeah, what's going on, man?
Yeah, of course I'm subscribed to Hang Time. He's a fucking great content creator. Go Yay. Check him out.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. How can people do that?
Get a subreddit, right?
Chad, thank you. Done. Go to Hang Time. Go to twitch.tv. Right. Chad, do this. Go to twitch.tv/hangtime. And click follow. I'm going to bring up my follow list right now to see if I get any conversions.
Okay.
Just to embarrass you.
Yeah, tell us all the platforms that you're on.
Yeah, go to twitch.tv/hangtime, youtube.com/hangtimecrew, and follow Sean Bolin on Twitter for woke takes. you're going to love it.
Sean Bolin gone woke.
Yep, go to Sean Bolin on Twitter, and I'm going to see, can I get Clef to follow on Twitch? I'm going to read his name. I'm going to read his name right here. I'm not leaving until he does it.
Yeah, we're calling you out, Clef.
Clef?
We're calling you out because you...
Clef, one of our patrons at patreon.com/T1podcast. If you want bonus episodes of the show, early listening privileges, a funny role on the Discord, a patron-only chat, and more.
Hey,
is he going to do it? I don't know if he has Twitter.
There you go. Spaghetti Pasta followed and McClef followed. McClef, you got a sub for 3 months. Chat tomorrow. Nice. I'll give you a sub for 3 months. All you want.
Awesome. Good deal, Clef. Over in the chat.
All right. I love you guys. Thank you so much for all the fun.
Wait, tonight. Mr. Hangtime, refresh.
What?
Refresh? Huh?
Refresh your channel thingy on Twitch.
Oh, I thought your brain refreshed, Tristan. Like you just forgot what you were saying.
Oh, did you follow him?
Oh, hell yeah. I got gifted a sub by Spaghetto.
Nice.
I made $3.50 this stream. That was badass. Ooh. Thank you so much. That's awesome.
Thanks for coming on, man. It was a blast, and I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Y'all are the best. Clef says, I'll sub and Dono. Clef, your ass is going to get worked tomorrow. I'm just going to let you know. You're in big fucking trouble.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it was your idea to have him look at Goon Cape.
I think he's into that. All right, Spaghetto, if people want to check out your YouTube channel, what's the best way to do that?
YouTube.com/hangtimecrew. There's not a lot of videos there. It's hard to post. There's like 4 videos. But you can look at old content in the description. So go for that.
Mm-hmm.
do
you still want me to plug?
Yeah, go for it, man.
Go for it.
Okay. YouTube.com/Spaghetto. We do daily uploads of Let's Play content with me and Lars, where we sit around. Somehow, usually talk about penis a bit and end up playing games. Check it out.
Yeah, that's good stuff, man. And check out Tej on SoundCloud if you want to hear his work on there. He's done the podcast theme and more. If you want to tune into us next time, youtube.com/@thefirstpodcast. And that's going to do it.
I could have said that.
I'm never going to see puppies the same way again.
TJ, you want to take us out?
Okay, well, Lars, I could have plugged my own SoundCloud page. I don't know why you...
I usually hate when we do that, so I was just trying to do it for you real quick.
Yeah, you're always just like, Barack Obama's by fucking Twitter.
Well, that's because, just like Hang Time, I barely post anything onto it, and I just feel bad for directing people
to it.
Take us out. All right. So this has been the first podcast with Sean Bolin of Hang Time. I'm Tej, and Lars and Spaghetto. Oh, man, I messed it up again. Okay, can I?
All right, cut it there, guys.
Can I,
editors.
No, can I try that again?
Bye. Bye, TJ.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks, Sean.
Bye. Can I try it again? No, bye.
am I going? I'm going. Yeah, it's not like I do this for a living. Hey,
first podcast fans.
I understand you're stuck in Washington and that you couldn't come out to RTX
2023.
So maybe next year you can find time in your busy schedule to come hang out with us at RTX
2024.
But we won't hold our breath. We're going to have fun anyway. Hopefully you can come and help. Have fun. Hope to see you there, bud. Bye.
Bye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.